Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Well, I'm Dottie. I'm one of the pastors here at Every Nation, and it's an honor to be here today and to bring God's word forth. And I usually like to start with a story. So since it's Mother's Day, you know, what better story than to start with my story? So I was the firstborn of Eddie and Bed Thorny. My mom, Betty, is right here. And our house was filled with love, laughter, and lots of hugs. Bet you're not surprised about the hugs, right? Yeah. And so we actually, when I was born, more towards the city. And their dream was to move out here to the suburbs. So when I was 9, they moved out here to the suburbs. And what goes on out here in the suburbs that's different than in the city is it is really dark at night. Like in the city, there's all kinds of lights. But when you come out here, if it's a cloudy night, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. So one of my parents, like they moved out here, right? And within the first couple of months, they're sleeping, right? And my mom, she senses this presence hovering over her. In bed, she yells, "Ed, Ed, there's someone in our room. There's someone in our room." My father wakes up. "Oh, I'll get him, hon." And he flails out and he grabs. He says, "I've got his wrist. I've got his wrist, hon." So she's saying, "Ma, hon, he's pulling me out of bed. He's yanking me out of bed. He's going, I'll find him. He's looking for who he's going to smack." My mother grabs a lamp and smacks the culprit on top of the head. So they go in the other room and they come back in. And guess what? It was just the two of them. They had been wrestling around. My father's got this big egg on his head. What a riot. And the thing is, we lived in a pretty big house. My brother Eddie and I are on the other end of the house. And we didn't hear a word. We slept through the entire thing, right? Never a dull moment in the Thorny household. And lots of stories. We got lots of stories to go with it. So my story as a mom, I got started at a very early age. In fact, one year, I'm under the Christmas tree playing with Rock'em Sock'em Robots with my brother Eddie, a mere child. And the next year, I have my baby daughter in my arms. I had my daughter Dawn on my 17th birthday. We got young. But as young as we were, her dad and I got married. But as I look back at that time in my life, getting married at that time and also having a child at that time, being pregnant with my daughter had a profound transformational effect on my life, like I had never known before. And the moment that I conceived her, everything changed. Because right from the very beginning, I became less self-centered. It wasn't all about me. I was a typical teenager. And then all of a sudden, it became about my daughter. It became about this new life that was in me. In fact, it was this love for her came that was all-consuming. Can all your mothers relate to that? When you conceived that baby, was this love for this baby? It just filled your whole soul. And it was all, she was all I wanted to talk about. In fact, that was, for anyone that would listen, that was all I wanted to talk about. And I can't help but think how similar that was to the moment I was born again. And you know why? Because the exact same thing happened. At the moment that you are born again, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, this new life comes into you, right? And at the moment that happened to me, everything changed. I became less self-centered. As the moment that happened to me, this love for Jesus filled my soul. And he was all I wanted to talk about to anyone who would listen. And 20 years later, it's still the same. You don't have to twist my arm to get me to talk about my daughter, Dawn, or my grandchildren, and you don't have to twist my arm to get me to talk about Jesus. And the reason for that is because of this new life that had come into me. Jesus is the center of it all. At the moment of conversion, that is what happens. Now, what is really kind of very unique about when I did conceive my daughter, my mom wasn't going to let me just be the one. Nope. 2 months later, she got pregnant with my sister, Allison. They're only 2 months apart. Now, we have a picture of us. All right, guys, it's time. Flash the picture. Yes. Aw. Isn't that great? We used to put them in the same app. They look like twins, don't they? Yeah. No, it's hard to even tell it was so long ago. I was 19 in that picture. I'm the one on the left, and that's my mom and my sister Allison and Dawn, you know? And it was, wow, what an amazing time in our lives. My mom and I, we went shopping together for all the things, all the baby things, and, you know, and then my daughter and my sister, they were born the same time, so they're more like sisters than aunts and niece, and they do everything together. They're very close, and that was like a wonderful, wonderful time in our lives, the beginning of our lives. But it also marked a change in my life in another way, and it marked a change because of the way I responded to an incident that happened in my life. Now, what had happened is we went to the reverend that I had gone to church since I was like 9 years old. When we came up here, my mom brought us to church. And we went and we asked him if he would marry us. And he absolutely refused. He said, no way, I'm marrying them. They're way too young. And he was very strong and even harsh about it, his whole attitude about it. Well, what happened is it really affected me. You know, I was turned off by this and offended by what happened. And it boggles my mind that something that simple could have such an effect on my life. But it really made me walk away from church, right? And does that ever happen? You see that can happen many times in people's lives. You know, I mean, sometimes you could be going to church. It might have happened to you in the past and now you're back. Or that can happen. All of a sudden you're disillusioned about the church. Or maybe there's something you were offended, like I was offended. Or maybe someone that was in a high position, they fell into sin and you were like, how could that happen? Or maybe it was just life in general, just the cares of the world and everything just got so busy that it didn't keep its priority. Now that can happen. Have you found that did that happen to anyone before? And now they're back, right? That can happen. But you know what it showed me? It showed me there are certain fundamental truths that it is so important that we grasp a hold of. And what that is that it is important that we are solidly in a church family, that we need each other, and how easily we could get off the path if we're not. Scripture tells us very clearly in Hebrews, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another as all the more the day is approaching. So why is that so important? Why is it important that we come together as a church? Well, you know what one of the reasons is because we are a family. It's a church. When you come together, you are part of a family. And it's very much the same as your natural family. I mean, you think in your natural family, right? You do things together. You find things that you have common interests in, and you get excited about doing these things together. I mean, I think about my daughter, Dawn. Everyone in that family is a Yankee fan. They are all Yankee fans. Since they were this high, they were raised to be Yankee fans. Right away, they went to the Yankee Hall of Fame. They all had their little Yankee hats. They were go Yankees. But it's great because they share in this together. You know, they're like-minded in this. And this is something they can celebrate, they can do together. And it's the same thing with us as a church, as our church family. We are rooted and grounded in our faith for Jesus. You know, just like that song said, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus at the center of it all, that it's all about him. And that is what we are all about. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about being in touch with the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that fills us with life, that fills us with passion, that fills us with purpose. And then we're doing that together. We're doing that together. We're holding hands as a family, and we are excited to do this together. And that's why it's important that we do this together. You know, I love the way our Viola, the way she talks, she says to me, don't worry, you don't have to come up. And if you want to give a test, no. I always tease her, I'm going to make her come up here, right? But I love the way she talks about it. She talks about her faith, and she talks about the church, her church family. Now, another thing about Viola you might know, she is hilarious. Quick-witted, funny. She has all the punchlines. She is in one of my Connect groups. And ladies, do we have fun in our Connect group? We take it serious. It's about, you know, we study the Bible, we come away knowing God's word, but we laugh and we have a ball together, right? Why? Because we're family and we truly enjoy each other's company. It's the way it is, you know, and it doesn't get any better. I love being with my family, but I love being with my church family also. It's beautiful. So anyway, Viola, again, when she speaks about her faith, right away she gives gratitude. She says, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I found the Lord. I thank you that I am born again, that I had that experience. I thank you, Lord, that I went from, the way she describes it, is I went from religion to relationship. That's how you'll hear her describe it that way, because it was a profound difference in what she knew before. But then in the next breath, she's talking about her church family. And I love hearing her say it, just in the way she says it, my church family, because that is the way it is supposed to be. We aren't supposed to be coming to church because it's an obligation. I mean, it's not because it's an obligation, but it is because you have tasted how good God is, and you want more. Isn't that why? Because Jesus and your faith has become so real to you and so life-giving that you want to stay tapped into that and you want more. It's the difference between religion, a bunch of rules and regulations that's just weighing you down and you could never do, to relationship that's filled with love, that's filled with grace, that's filled with mercy, that's filled with a life that's being transformed. That each day, from glory to glory to glory, you are being transformed. And the closer you walk with him, the more you will see that happen. It just doesn't get any better than to be in touch with that. But I didn't know that. At 16, I didn't know that. And I walked away. But he came and found me. Yes, he did. So the focus of my message today, it's really like a one-pointer, a one-point focus. It's not so much what's going on in your life, it's how are you going to respond? How do you respond to what things happen in your life? How do you respond when something disappoints you? How do you respond when someone you love disappoints you or someone betrays you? How do you respond when you're praying for something and asking God for something you're longing for? And it hasn't happened yet. Or maybe it doesn't happen. How do you respond when life throws you a curveball, when storms are rising up in your life? How do you respond? It could be sickness. It could be a lack of a job. How do you respond? Yes. The way you respond is you go to Jesus. In our church family, you know, I love it. I love what my daughter, what they do as a church, as a family. They are into sports. They're very much into sports. So my daughter, right, because they're into sports and they're into the Yankees, guess what all their kids played? Softball and baseball. So what that would do is they would be there cheering each other on, right? And that's what we do in the body of Christ. We cheer each other on. And you know what our home run is? You know what our home run is in the body of Christ? It's when someone steps out to fulfill their destiny. It's when our Tiffany Neal will step up at the Mother's Brunch and preach the gospel, stepping into fulfilling her destiny. It's a home run. When we planted a church out here in New Jersey, that's a home run. It's a home run when the life of Jesus and the love of Jesus is so in us and so poured out of us that others want that too. It's a home run when we take someone's hand and we lead them to the Lord. But what happens is when the storms rise up in this life, how are we going to respond? Are we going to run to God? Are we going to tap into him? Are we going to experience the power and the presence of God? Because the way we respond to whatever's happening in our life, that's what will happen to our future. Our future will be affected by it. Our relationships will be affected by it. And future generations will be affected by it. So on Mother's Day, the woman that I want to highlight, her name is Hannah. And she was a woman of God who, when surrounded by storms, who was surrounded, here she was aching to have a child of her own and praying and crying out to God. Yet all along, year after year, she remained steadfast in her faith and her devotion to God. Hannah, her very name means gracious, and she was very true to her name. All through the scriptures, we see that. So now I want to bring you to 1 Samuel 1:2. So we're going to speak about the story of Hannah. It's, first of all, it talks about a man named Elkanah, who was her husband. It said, he had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, Hannah did not. Well, right off, there is a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, two wives? I mean, he was a godly man. Back then, they were allowed to have two wives, but definitely a disaster. There is no way I am sharing my husband, Jim, with another woman. In fact, if another woman even lightly flirted with him, it's like, forget about it, boom, no way. You know, can you imagine having to share him with another? No. And think about it, men, how about you come home from a long day's work and you don't have just one woman, you got two, right? No. A disaster waiting to happen. But these two women, they responded so differently to the circumstances in their life. And that's what I want to highlight today. So it went on to say, 1 Samuel 1:3-7, it said, year after year, this man, which was Elkanah, went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. These women, their response was so different. Here is Hannah aching for a child, and she's watching Peninnah surrounded by her children. And here is Peninnah, who's there. Obviously, her husband had a preferential love for Hannah. Both of them, their hearts were breaking. And both of them, I am sure, were experiencing jealousy of the other, because what they each had something the other wanted. And jealousy can definitely bring out the worst in us. But it doesn't have to, because it's how do you respond. So I want to take me back again to my childhood. Now, I shared this story with the women, but it's apropos, so I might as well let us all hear about it. This is when I was the green-eyed monster. At least one of the times I was the green-eyed monster. So anyway, next door lived a little girl, and we were good friends, right? So, you know, we were friends with the girl next door. But there was this whole comparison thing going on between us. But the bummer, you know what the bad part of it was? I was always coming out on the short end of the stick. Yes. She was a straight-A student, right? Here I was, like, you know, B's, C's, an occasional A, you know. She had this thick auburn hair. I mean, this beautiful thick hair. Mine was thin and stringy. And then my mom would give me these horrible perms. I love you dearly, Mom, but those perms. And it was, so here we are, right? And I am jealous of this, right? And she had something to do about it too, because she was enjoying every minute. You could see her superiority. Aha, it's because I'm so wonderful, right? So this went on. All right, so then we become young ladies. We're starting to develop into young ladies. So we're putting on our bathing suits. We're going to the pool. So here I am, another one of my water stories, huh? So here I am, right next to her, right? Now, we're starting to develop into young ladies. I am a late bloomer. But she, no, right, she's got, you know, starting to get curves, but she still wasn't happy. So what she does, she stuffs the top of her bathing suit with stockings. So here I am, this string bean, right, with this perm, and this, you know, she's like, da, 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 da. Well, she gets in the pool, and she starts doing the backstroke, right? Oh, sorry, wired. And what happens is the stockings start to float out. They're floating all around her, the feet. And I'm dying, right? And I'm like, I'm hysterical laughing at everybody. Now, a friend would have jumped in, grabbed the stockings. But to this day, I get a kick out of that, right? I mean, it does. It brings out the worst in you. Oh, funny? Yeah, I can still see at the feet. I mean, they were all around. Oh, hilarious. Anyway, getting back to our Hannah. Here is our sweet Hannah. Here's Hannah. Right, Peninnah, she is jealous, she's lashing out at her. But not once in Scripture do you hear, did Hannah ever retaliate? No. What did she do? She went to the Lord, because she knew where her help would come from. So she went to Jesus, not Jesus, but she went to God, because this was before Jesus, yes. But she went to the Lord, and this is what she said. In deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She found her refuge in God. She knew where her help came from. It came from the Lord. She remained steadfast in her trust and devotion. And she kept on going to the house of the Lord. It said year after year, she went to the house of the Lord. She knew what that when she went there, she'd see all the mothers with all the children surrounding them. It would be painful. She knew that her rival was going to provoke her, but did it stop her from going? No. She pressed through and said, I am going to the house of the Lord. Sometimes how little it could take for us not to go, but look what she did. It is important that we are here to get recharged, that our passion and everything gets filled up, that we hear the word. And she went. Isn't that beautiful? What an example. She was not gonna let the circumstances that were surrounding her, was not gonna let them stop her from fulfilling her destiny and the destiny of her unborn child, the one that she would conceive. Yes, she was an example of someone who loved the Lord and clung to him all the time. And all that time, he was strengthening her. He was developing her character. Because no one can be in the presence of God and remain the same. No one. Yes. And it said some might have thought that she was weak. Because there she is with tears streaming down. This is a woman that's weak. In fact, Eli actually thought she was drunk because she was in such prayer from such a deep part of her. But it was those tears, she wept bitter tears so that the bitterness didn't get trapped in her soul. She wept before the Lord. She let the tears soften her heart so nothing could get stuck in there, no anger, no bitterness. And she poured it out at the Lord. So she didn't retaliate. She kept her faith because you cannot be in the presence of God and remain the same. No, he'll do that work in you always. And then God brought her to this place that he was all along he wanted her to go. And here is Hannah's words to him. She made a vow. She said, O Lord Almighty, if only you will look upon your servant's misery and not forget me and give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. That's where God needed Hannah to be that place that she would let go. And she did. So all of that time was not in vain, because God was preparing her, getting her to a place, because she was supposed to let her son go. Her son's name was Samuel. And Samuel was supposed to spend his early years in the house of the Lord so he could be prepared for the mighty man of God that he would be. He would be both a prophet and a judge. And he was a prophet that had to be strong in the Lord, because he had to bring forth some really strong prophecies. But he had strength and he had character, and as did his mother. And God's timing is always perfect. It's perfect. In every way, it is perfect. Yeah. It's perfect because he was supposed to be born at a certain time. And it's perfect in our lives. We can be praying, asking God for the right job. You could be asking the Lord for a child, But it could be the time, a specific time when that child is going to be born. You could be also be praying for a spouse. You could be praying for a spouse, or maybe it's even a relationship that's become kind of stormy, and you're crying to the Lord for help in these areas. But as Pastor Sheena always says, a setback can be just ready for a set up, right? That's right. He's just getting you ready for that. Yes. Just getting you ready for the right job. He's handpicked for you. The right spouse. And doing that work that he needs to do in all of us. But what are you doing during the time of waiting, right? Are you trusting in him, or are you trusting in the circumstance, right? Hannah, her life was an example of trust in the Lord and do good. That's who she was. She trusted in God all along, and she found her refuge in God. That's why she was able to open up and let her son go. Yeah, only God can help us let go of things. And what happened is, though she let go, how hard that must have been. I mean, it's hard to even leave your baby with a babysitter, right? For a mother, right? Never mind, right? To have to leave your child when they're like two. But she did that because she was true to her word. And she did that because he was to fulfill his destiny. And what happened is she had many children after that. Isn't that awesome? You know, God was faithful to her. We have different seasons in our lives. Some are, you know, high, and then we'll get a curveball thrown at us. But how do we respond during the storms? I can't help, my heart goes out to Penina. I mean, look at her. Picture what she was experiencing. Here she is. Her husband obviously loves another woman more. Her heart was breaking. Her heart was filled with bitterness. But she just never ran to the Lord. She could have gone to the Lord, but she didn't. So what happened is all of that stuff just got deposited in her. All of that bitterness, all of that anger, all of that just went and rooted in her. And and it needed an outlet. And where was it? She lashed out at Hannah. But she too could have gone to the Lord. And so all we know about her is she was the other wife and that she lashed out. That's her legacy. But that doesn't have to be for any one of us, because we know where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord, right? And we will never be the same in his presence when we run to him. It doesn't matter what's going on. Maybe you're having a hard time forgiving. Maybe you don't even want to forgive somebody. Or maybe you do, but you say, but I don't know how to let it go. It's hard for you to let it go. Well, you can either hold on to it or give up trying, or you can go to the Lord, and he can help you let go of that unforgiveness, as only he can, to let it go. How about anger? Maybe there's anger. There's some anger that's happening right now in your life, or maybe something rooted even from something in the past, you know, and it flares up. But you too, that too, as you go to the Lord, he can help you let go of that anger. Yeah. Or maybe it's a root of rejection. Maybe you've been rejected so many times, again and again, that you just don't even want to try anymore. But God, he can take out that root and fill you with confidence. Yeah, can never be the same in the presence of God. So I want to take us now to the New Testament, to the Apostle Paul. And he spoke to Christians of that day. And this is a word for Christians. And he spoke it in the book of Romans. And this word is the same for us today. And it's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. Now, he didn't say all things work for the good of everybody, did it? No. For those who love the Lord. For those who have that open relationship with him. For those that will run to him so that he can mold them and shape them. Those who will go to him that they can be strengthened and their character can be developed during that time. because they've been called to a purpose. And it's a twofold thing. Your character has to line up, right, with our purpose. He has to get that to line up, and he'll do that as we draw close to him. All things. You know why it works for our good? Because we are being conformed into the image of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That's what's happening from the inside out. And then it goes on to say, Romans 8:29 says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. How we respond will be how quickly we are transformed. The more we run to him, the more we cling to him, the more we will be a reflection of him here. You know, I started out, you know, my message with a story about how, you know, my response, I didn't respond well to something, and it got me off the path, right? So in closing, I want to end with a story where I did respond the right way, and then we'll see what the end result of that was. Well, it has to do, again, with that same period of my life when I was 17, and it has to do with my mother-in-law, my daughter Dawn's grandma, Anne. Now, this was a woman, she loved her children fiercely. In fact, she loved them so much that no one was good enough for them. No one. Well, I take that back. The ones that were good enough were her daughter's husbands. The daughter's husbands, they were fine, but when it came to the women, forget about it. So there were two daughter-in-laws that were there before me. And when I came in, both of them, she would just be relentless with them. There was nothing right about these people, right? And I would hear all about this, and I would never say a word. And then it was me, too. It was the same thing with me. So she would just tear me apart, and this was wrong, and that was wrong. And I wouldn't say anything. It would bring me to tears, because I was hurt by this. But anyway, so her son, he would get mad at her. He would spend days without talking to her. Sometimes weeks, it would go on to weeks. That's what happened, right? So this went on for about a year and a half, right? So finally, I got up the courage. I said, okay, and she was a strong woman. I got the courage, I'm gonna say something, right? So I go up to her and I say, Ma, because I called her Ma. I said, I gotta tell you, Ma. I said, I know that you're always criticizing me and saying things, Ma. I said, but I've gotta tell you, I never say a bad word about you because you're his mom and it wouldn't be right for me to do that. So what's gonna happen, Ma, is if you keep this up, you're gonna lose your child. So please, if you just come to me, tell me if there's something you don't like, just tell me and let's just leave him out of it. Well, that was a turning point in our life. I went from being a daughter-in-law to her child. At that moment, she gave me the same unconditional love that she gave all of her children. And we had a close relationship. Although her son and I divorced, her and I stayed close all her life. In fact, it's unusual, but she was actually at Jim's and my wedding. She came to Jim's and my wedding and supporting of that. You know, but what really had the most profound impact on our relationship was towards the end of her life. She had gone into heart failure, and that was before they had heart transplants. So she knew she only had 2 months to live. And when I heard about that, I went to visit her. So I went to visit her, and as I sat by her bed, she said to me, she goes, you know, as I'm contemplating that, you know, I'm gonna not be here, I'm not sure if I am gonna go to heaven, you know? I'm really not sure. I find that. And that can be the case sometimes. We're almost in denial. We don't really even give it much thought. But God, in his mercy, he gave her time to think about it. And so when she said this to me, I said, well, Ma, I said, it's there for you. You can have the peace. You can know. What we have to do, it's a personal declaration of your faith, Ma. where you make Jesus your Lord, your Savior. You ask him to forgive you, and then you know by faith that he has, and that he has, and once he has, and you're clean, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God will come into you, and you will know who you are. You'll get that peace, because you'll have that revelation. And I said, Ma, it's here for you. And I took her hand, and I led her to Jesus. And I watched peace come into her eyes, and I watched the fear leave her. And she knew the presence of God was in her. She knew she had received eternal life. And I stayed there with her and would go and pray with her until she passed away. But that was a divine moment that wouldn't have happened if I had lashed out at her as a young woman, if I had bought into the drama. No. Now, he would have sent somebody else, but that was supposed to be me. That was supposed to be that I would lead her. And it was beautiful. And it was because of a choice I made. And it's because of choices we make. So I ask you today, how will you respond? If you've never made a personal confession of your faith to Jesus, you can do that today. If you think a moment, do you have that peace that comes from knowing, yes, I will go to heaven. I will spend eternity there. And that is here for you today. Because just taking a moment as we pray together with you in your seat, that you will know a defining moment by faith. That you ask him to forgive you, he'll come in, and the power of the presence of God will be at the center of your life. So with all heads bowed, if that is you, and you have never made a personal declaration to Jesus, you can do that today right in your seats. So if that's you, just raise your hand up to him, and we can pray together. That is you. Raise your hand. We see that hand. Thank you, Lord. If you don't know, do you have a peace about heaven? In a moment, that peace is there for us. If that is you, raise your hand. Raise your hand to him. And right there in our seats, we can pray. Yes. Maybe you knew him. And maybe you feel far away. I want more. I want more of a touch. I want to know that Holy Spirit is in me. If that is you, raise your hand and we will pray.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.